This episode brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Do you ever find yourself playing the budgeting game? Shifting a little money here, a little there, and hoping it all works out? Well, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive, you can get a better budgeter and potentially lower your insurance bill too. You tell Progressive what you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll help find you options within your budget. Try it today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. Not available in all states.
Summer's here, and Nordstrom has everything you need for your best dress season ever. From beach days and weddings to weekend getaways and your everyday wardrobe, discover stylish options under $100 from tons of your favorite brands like Mango, Skims, Princess Polly, and Madewell. It's easy, too, with free shipping and free returns, in-store order pickup, and more. Shop today in-stores, online at Nordstrom.com, or download the Nordstrom app.
Is the Rich Eisen Show.
What was it called?
The Rich Eisen Show.
Four for Sam Reinhart. He scores to make it five. The Florida Panthers are back-to-back Stanley Cup champions.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Caitlin Clark hits the deck.
When the officials don't get control of the ball game, I mean, bad officiating is bad officiating.
Today's guests, Ravens running back Derrick Henry, longtime director and producer Larry Charles, Fox Sports NFL analyst Mark Schlereth, and now it's Rich Eisen.
Ah, yes, that is correct, everybody. Welcome to this edition of the Rich Eisen Show. We've got a fun three-hour show in store. Sports, Seinfeld, Curb Your Enthusiasm, Borat, all that good stuff, all in one three-hour package. And you at 844-204-RICH, number to dial, if you wish to call us, and we hope you do. Hope you connect with us today here on this three-hour edition of the Rich Eisen Show on a Wednesday here in Los Angeles, California. And we're sitting here on the Roku Sports Channel, Infinity Sports Network, Sirius XM, Odyssey, and more. Good to see you over there, Christopher Brockman. How are you?
Hey, Rich. What up, man?
You got a Stanley Cup adjacent. I guess you are, right? Since you're a,
I guess
you're a Brad Marchand fan.
He's been a little bit of a rough month for.
It's all good. It's
Boston
all good.
Fans.
It's all good.
I realize no one is shedding any tears.
No,
for us.
it's all good, man. Yeah. It's all good.
It's all good.
Players you root for, used to root for, are doing very well. I mean, Rafael Devers is grabbing a first baseman's glove all of a sudden.
Good
up there
him.
In San Francisco.
Good for
we're going to talk about all of this on this program. Good to see you over there,
hey,
Jay Felly. How are you?
What's up? Doing great.
Hey, Dodgers, thanks for having me on.
Dodgers keep winning. Good
yes,
Lord.
They do.
Good to see you over there, TJ Jefferson. How are you, sir?
I'm great, man. And I'll say this all the time. That Stanley Cup trophy presentation
is
the greatest
like
thing in sports.
I know. And then the handshakes is. and the cup and congratulations to the fans of the Florida Panthers. We have back-to-back Stanley Cup champions, which I guess only happens in the state of Florida these days. South Florida, the home of
hockey.
You know, and I know the good folks in Canada are still waiting for their first title since the early 90s.
Still alive.
But the, I guess the... curse of Marty McSorley's stick still roosts, as folks here in Los Angeles keep pointing that out from
not
back in the
it.
Day.
Not mad at
right?
it.
But the Florida Panthers go back-to-back, and they do it again against the Edmonton Oilers for a second straight year, denying Edmonton and Connor McDavid a trophy. And they did it in emphatic fashion last night, 5-1. They are Stanley Cup champions in back-to-back years. The year before that, they're Stanley Cup runners-up. They won the President's Trophy the year before that. So the Florida Panthers, after making only 7 playoff appearances and winning 3 playoff series in the previous 28 seasons, go on a run where they have the best record in the sport for one season, and then make the final only to lose it the next season, and then back-to-back Stanley Cup champions, the Florida Oof, Panthers.
They're on a run.
Are on a run for the ages, and we'll talk about it a little bit more later on this program. I do want to start with something that kind of lit up my social feeds more than the Stanley Cup final. I'll be honest with you. And listen, we love, it's kind of crazy that the Commissioner's Cup may be more of something to discuss than the Stanley Cup in certain parts of our sports landscape, but it's the Caitlin Clark effect that we're seeing in the WNBA. And I understand there are more players and veterans and people who have built the blocks of the WNBA for a long time, and it's not just Caitlin Clark's association. But listen, we say it all the time on this program. Show us that you care when we tune into your sport, when we're tuning into any sporting event. Show us that it means that much to you. And I think, TJ, just to hearken to a few moments ago when you say the Stanley Cup presentation, that there's really fewer moments in sports that give you the feels, give you the chills, give you the moments. And obviously we've seen Lombardi trophies awarded, and we've seen Larry O'Brien trophies awarded, as it could be in Indianapolis on Thursday night to the Oklahoma City Thunder. Certainly if Tyrese Halliburton isn't going to play, and right now that is totally up in the air. But last night in Indianapolis, my phone starts lighting up during the first period of the Stanley Cup final, game six, that the Panthers, as we all know, won to win the championship and the season and all that stuff. I'm seeing Caitlin Clark go at it with a former Big Ten rival, one might say, in J.C. Sheldon, who at one point tells Caitlin Clark, "You can't do that." And Clark says back to her, clearly, if you read lips, "I can do whatever the F I want," is what she says to her. And that was first half. Second half, you're seeing on the screen here the moment where Caitlin Clark has what appears to be poked eyes from Sheldon guarding her. And she shoves Sheldon back, at which point Marina Mabry of the Connecticut Sun comes in and just shoves her, like decks her, to the ground, right to the floor. And we're playing the feud on a Tuesday night in the WNBA. And it's on. And the officials give a tech to Sheldon for poking Clark. And then they give a tech to Clark for shoving Sheldon. And Mabry doesn't get ejected. I mean, she just came in, you know, third woman in, shoved Clark to the floor, and she doesn't get the gate. And then later on in the fourth quarter, Clark buries a three over Sheldon to give the Fever an insurmountable lead. And she's barking at Sheldon as she's going to the bench because the Sun are calling for time. And she's clearly saying something back at Sheldon, who watched the three get buried by Clark in a 20-point night, by the way. And Clark starts yelling at her own crowd and rallying them and throwing her arms up in the air and walking from her huddle, out of the huddle, across the floor to the other side of fans who are going absolutely nuts. And I'm thinking to myself, I swear to you, it is so rare in this business to see an athlete so plugged into her crowd that her play is plugged in like the Matrix to the sports universe that she is in the middle of. This is like J.J. Watt stuff in Houston. This is Marshawn Lynch stuff in Seattle. I'm serious. This is that sort of stuff. I called Taylor down to start watching this, my 11-year-old, because she wears Caitlin Clark stuff, Juju Watkins stuff. That's all she's doing these days. Honestly, it's just one shirt after another. It's either Caitlin or Juju Watkins. Every day. Every day. And so, and Taylor's got some handle, and we show her all this sort of stuff. And I also don't mind showing her the intense competition here. Now, yeah, I did have to explain to her with 40 seconds to go, Sophie Cunningham playing football on Sheldon. And that started an absolute push and shoving moment that there's you got to look at the video. There's one security guard who he steps in and calmly keeps the throng of pushers, shovers away from the people sitting in the front row. And he's like looking at them calmly and saying, I've got this. You're okay. You know, cause it's getting out of hand. And it took a long time for this thing to get unknotted. And I did have to explain to Taylor, like, that's a flagrant foul. She will be ejected for this. Sheldon's going to get her second tech. She's going to get the gate. And sure enough, six technical fouls, couple of ejections. And you know what? It was just amazing. Like, if this was the NBA, it would be everywhere. But this isn't the NBA. The NBA sometimes doesn't match the intensity of what I'm seeing on the screen with the WNBA. It's that. That's a fact. It's a fact. And I'm thinking, you know, watching this, are the officials up to the task? First of all, it took forever on both reviews. I don't know if you saw this.
Now, I'm kind of catching up on
that
on
both
Twitter
reviews,
right?
The one after the eye poking and the shoving and the technicals took forever. Yeah. And it took forever. It's like, listen, Sophie Cunningham is a hard foul. She just used both her arms and threw Sheldon to the floor. Mm-hmm. I mean, at any rate, it took forever for them to look at it. And I'm thinking what Stephanie White, the head coach of the Fever, who are, by the way, going to represent their conference in the Commissioner's Cup against the Minnesota Lynx. And this is the in-season tournament for the WNBA. The coach of the Fever just laid it out all on the line about the officiating not being up to snuff. Like, they need to catch up to a league that is getting more intense and physical to keep this somewhat in the rails here, because, I mean, we're not looking for roller derby here while we're enjoying the intensity. But just watch the soundbite, because it is a three shot. It was a wide shot. You could see Caitlin Clark sitting to her coach's left. Watch her reaction as Stephanie White goes in on the officials, because Clark was asked about picking up a tech, and White stepped in and said, I'll take the questions about officiating, and said this.
When the officials don't get control of the ball game, when they allow that stuff to happen, and it's been happening all season long, It's not just this game. It's been happening all season long. This is what happens, right? This is what happens. You've got competitive women who are the best in the world at what they do, right? And when you allow them to play physical and you allow these things to happen, they're going to compete. And they're going to have their teammates' backs. It's exactly what you expect, right, out of fierce competition. So I started talking to the officials in the first quarter. And we knew this was going to happen. You could tell it was going to happen. So they got to get control of it. They got to be better. Everybody's getting better except the officials. So we got to find a way to remedy it.
Okay, Caitlin Clark.
I mean, you've heard every coach talk about it. So I don't know what the answer is.
First of all, you didn't see Clark look like that in the presence of her coach last year. Remember, that was all conversation about what's going on with the team. But just watching the WNBA more and more and more, we've got the league pass at home. As Susie is coming in to do women's sports now later on, I'm sure this is going to be front and center for their conversation on the latest episode of that on the Roku channel as of midnight tonight. Coach White's like, we're all getting better in this league. The players are getting better. The drafting's getting better. The talent level's getting better. And the talent level is showing off they're talented better. But who's not getting better? The officials. Okay. You had me at hello. This is fun. Not for officials. This is intense stuff. And this is stuff that, you know, folks around parts like these and shows like these, this is stuff to discuss. And Caitlin Clark being in the middle of all of it absolutely throws the spotlight on it. You know, all due respect to Paige Beckers, you know, her team is, I think, now only 9 games under 500 right now. And I do believe the two of these star players play one another later this week. But Caitlin Clark had this to say about her evening, where she's pinballed around nonstop by the competition and then drops in 20, including one on a three-pointer on Sheldon that she let Sheldon know all about it after calling for time and firing up the fired-up home fever fans.
Everybody knows that's how I play. Like, I want the crowd behind me. Like, they love when I get into it with them too. Like, they're here for a show, and like, that's what I try to give them every single night. That's what we try to give them every single night, and that's what makes it fun. And people spend a lot of money and time to come to these games, and like, this is a Tuesday night game. I think it's Tuesday, and this place is basically full, and there's so many young girls and young boys and adults and older men that, you know, this might be their first WNBA game ever, and like, you want to perform for them. So that's one of my favorite parts of, you know, getting to go out there and compete every single night is, you know, kind of getting to interact with the fans and like, be an entertainer in a way.
Sold. I'm sold. Fun. Just wanted to start the show that way.
Love it.
Fun stuff. So sold, Caitlin, and by sold, I mean pretty much every shirt with your name on it that my daughter's wearing right now. That's a fact. She, by the way, is going to her third straight day of basketball camp today. Hopefully showing off some handle.
Hopefully not fighting anyone.
But I did tell her. No, I did say you cannot take both your arms, as Sophie Cunningham is doing, around the body of the clear path to the basket driver and throw her down to the ground, no matter if she, you know, poke the eyes out of your star player or not. You just that you can't do. And
just don't get caught.
Huh?
Don't get caught. I mean, you can be a little bit, just don't get caught doing it.
It was a total takedown worthy of no contest wrestling.
Anderson Silva was jealous, DJ.
You know, one other thing, you said Marina Mabry should have been thrown out.
She should have.
No, she shouldn't have. That she should have got a tech, and that should have been.
That's all she got.
Yeah,
she knocked her to the ground. Dude.
Come on, bro. Like, these women are out there being physical. They're
I get it.
Caitlin Clark talks a lot of trash.
I'm sure she
while
does.
She's out there, like, schooling people.
I know that.
So that's going to make people a little upset, and yeah, you're going to find that. I love it. I think it's great, man. Let them get into it. Let them get physical with each other. But no,
I agree.
She shouldn't have been tossed for that. And we're missing Sophie doing like almost like the Muay Thai hand around the head.
Yeah,
like no one is talking about the fact that she really went for it. Like, I thought it was great, man.
We're talking about it.
Yeah,
and spelling the name right, WNBA. Let's take a break. Lamar Jackson has spoken. And that soundbite is soon to be hitting your ear gate, if you're listening, or right here on your channel, in advance of Derrick Henry going to join us. Hour number two, the name Larry Charles may sound familiar to you, because you've probably seen it in the credits of some of the shows that we love around here. Seinfeld, Curb Your Enthusiasm, Borat.
Entourage.
He has written a book called Comedy Samurai. He will be here in studio. And yes, some of the episodes that he is credited writing from Seinfeld, Bubble Boy is one of them. Another one is the Chinese restaurant episode, where we realized that a show about nothing could really mean something. The airport
where Jerry and Elaine are in different classes of service on the plane. There's so many different ways to go down with Larry Charles. And Mark Schlereth, Hour 3, just because we love catching up and talking ball with him. But when we come back, what did Lamar Jackson say about how he's approaching this season that has made some headlines? And Derrick Henry will be zooming into the program. And you at 844-204-RICH, number to dial.
This episode brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Do you ever find yourself playing the budgeting game? Shifting a little money here, a little there, and hoping it all works out? Well, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive, you can get a better budgeter and potentially lower your insurance bill too. You tell Progressive what you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll help find you options within your budget. Try it today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. Not available in all states.
Let's talk Sleep Number, people. If you're like me, then you are just not yourself when you get a bad night's sleep. Look, sleep plays an important, crucial role in recovery. We're all unique in what we need from our bed, too. That's where Sleep Number can step in. Sleep Number smart beds are the best beds for couples because you can individualize each side. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's is 70. It's just 10 numbers apart, but we like our side of the bed the way that we like it. Being able to adjust your bed's firmness after working out, too, for recovery, it's game-changing. So, why choose a Sleep Number smart bed? I just told you, but I'll do it again. So you can choose your ideal comfort on either side. The only bed that lets you make each side firmer or softer whenever you like your Sleep Number setting. And now it's the Sleep Number 4th of July sale. Save over $600 on the Sleep Number P5 King Smart Bed, the lowest price of the season. Limited time, exclusively at a Sleep Number store near you. See the store or sleepnumber.com for details. Even the safest drivers still encounter unsafe conditions, so it's important they do it in a safe vehicle. And Hyundai's offer available Class Executive Advanced Safety features to help keep you protected against the many challenges the road throws your way. Basically, in a Hyundai, you can drive as safely as possible and enjoy your journey in confidence and style. When you change lanes, signal, check for traffic, and enjoy the added safety of Hyundai's available Blind Spot View Monitor. Constantly scan for dangers and take advantage of Hyundai's standard forward collision avoidance assist to help prevent accidents by alerting you of imminent collisions and automatically applying the brakes. Stay alert at all times and be thankful that Hyundai's standard driver attention warning system monitors your attention levels and can bring your focus back on the road. Safety is all about making the right decisions on the road and when selecting a vehicle. Learn more at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for details. Derrick Henry's going to join us, slated to join us in 5 minutes' time when he's off of what I imagine is the mini-camp practice field. This is the end of the run of active football that's going down before training camp. So we're going to soak it all in. And we're going to take any morsel that we can get and explode it. Which is what happens these days when we're bored with the National Football League waiting. Just we're waiting.
Talk about Carlos Pena's 5 years.
I know. That's what Cooper was saying. I know. Cooper's like that. And Carlos Pena again.
ESPN did an all quarter century team and left off with Damian Tomlinson. So that was what I was having issues with this morning.
Okay. We'll talk about that later.
Yeah.
But focusing on a team that has Super Bowl aspirations. And if they are having a mini camp and their players are talking in front of a microphone, we're going to hear them out. Certainly if one of them is a multiple MVP of the league in Lamar Jackson, who hasn't spoken since the Bills bounced the Ravens in the playoffs. And since that day, we have not heard from Lamar. Now we have. And his approach to this season certainly caught the ears of a lot.
I think I get over any loss, to be honest. I got losses from youth football that still hunt me, you know? So I never get over a loss. I don't care how small it may be to someone else or how great it might be. It's always the same for me. It's football. Everything not going to go our way, man. You know, before it was like, oh, you can't win a playoff game. You know, we won a playoff game. We got to the AFC Championship 2 years ago. Then we just fell short, like two games short this year. But we're going to bounce back. And when we come back, I feel like we're going to have vengeance on our mind.
Vengeance on our mind. Okay. I love it. And you know who loves it too? The schedule makers. Because hearing on June 18th that vengeance is on the minds of the Baltimore Ravens quarterback, that's why they put him in Buffalo on the first Sunday night of the season. Let's go. Let's go. I've already thought that the first game might be the Commanders in Philadelphia, a rematch of the NFC Championship game. But we're going to have to wait for that one. And then you've got the Chargers and the Chiefs on the first Friday of the season, with that game on YouTube, which you can see here on Roku. And then Sunday night, Ravens at Bills. Somebody's going to be 0-1. And the Ravens have got to be like, how many times are we going to have to pay, open the season in the home of the team that eliminated us the year before? Now, last year, there was a toenail that prevented the Ravens from spoiling a banner raise night
half
in Kansas City. So you know
we were there.
The Ravens are, yes, we were. You know the Ravens are going to be ready for that one. Right? And then home for Cleveland. Then a Monday nighter against Detroit. Then a visit to Kansas City. Then a Houston Texans team that the Ravens eliminated 2 years ago from the playoffs. Then the Rams come into their house. Last time that happened, that game went to overtime. It was a dynamite contest. Then a home date with Chicago, which is a total shrug emoji. Like, are they going to be that much better because of the moves that they've made that everyone thinks? A visit to Miami on a Thursday night when everybody's going to be dressed like whatever they're dressed in, because Halloween's the next night. A visit to Minnesota, Cleveland again. Let's go. So many of these games are must-see, and then three of their last four are division games, half of them division games, and another one's at Green Bay. Three on the road to finish the season out of the final four games, with the only home date or the Patriots coming to their house. Vengeance indeed. Again,
that's a tough start before the bye too.
Well, this is what's going to happen if they're taking on obviously the rest of their division and the NFC North as well, and you know, the Ravens are also taking on, as you could see, the AFC East. So there's lots of vengeance on the mind, I am sure. And of course, the first night, it's only going to be talked about on that first night. These are the two last most valuable players of the league who keep hitting their heads on the ceiling in Kansas City or against Kansas City. You know, that's it. Every single time we talk about Lamar Jackson, he even talked about it. He's heard it, right? He's basically just said right there, they said we couldn't win a playoff game. Then we did. Then we made the AFC Championship game. And they've got a really good team again. They are absolutely coming into this season 100%. Contenders in the AFC, if not making the Super Bowl. I know I'm not going on a limb. Ooh. Where are they? Where are they currently in?
So I was just looking that
Las
up.
Vegas. I know you always go there whenever I go in that direction.
I was checking their win total. Actually, they have the second. Well, they have tied for the best Super Bowl odds. Buffalo and Baltimore are both 7-1.
Better than Kansas City.
Kansas City and Philadelphia is plus 750, so 15-2. Detroit has the...
Don't make me do math. That's worse than 7-1, right?
Yeah. Because
that's 7.5-1.
Yeah. Detroit 10-1, and then a big jump. So those are the kind of the five who are all, you know, similar. Then a big jump, Rams 19-1. Commanders 20-1, Vikings 21-1, Bengals 21-1.
Okay. So the Ravens and the Bills currently have the best odds to win the Super Bowl this year.
Yeah. Ravens win total 11.5. How you feel about that?
I mean, again, you put their schedule up and you gotta wonder where a dozen wins come from until you realize who they have on offense,
pretty tough
who they have on defense, who they've drafted, who they've acquired. DeAndre Hopkins is there. And then you think about who's coaching him.
DeAndre Hopkins, all due respect, Hall of Fame player, just seems like a name at this point.
Yeah, well,
I know they re-up Bateman. Their pass catcher is kind of, if there is a flaw in the roster,
that
is.
Keep on saying that over and over and over again.
That is, you know, where I'm looking at.
Right.
Not that it really mattered much last year, you know. They had a great run. Lamar was awesome, obviously. Derrick Henry, we're going to talk to him in a minute. It's still at the top of his game, but I don't know.
They've also improved their backup quarterback. I mean, Cooper Rush is there now.
But to have the best Super Bowl odds, I don't know. That seems...
Well, that's the Cooper Rush effect, Chris.
Two great tight ends. Ricard's back again in front with Henry. Justice Hill. Keaton Mitchell's going to have a full...
Keaton, yeah. Remember how good he was from spurts?
Full season of being healthy. That offensive line, bro. Defensive line. The front seven, and then there's my guy on the back end. Honestly, he's up there with Jerome Bettis in terms of Notre Dame people that I don't mind. And Kyle Hamilton.
I noticed you said you don't mind and not like.
I don't mind. Yeah. I like him.
You love Jerome.
I do. I love this guy, too. I don't care if he's over here. Is he ready to go right now? He's Derrick Henry of the Baltimore Ravens back here on the program. What's up, Derrick? How are you?
Hey, what's up?
Did they just yank you right off the practice field, throw you in front of the Zoom? Is that what's going on right now?
Right in front of him. I'm ready, though.
I appreciate that. How are you doing? How's life?
I'm good.
Yeah?
I'm good, man.
Yeah?
How about you? How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. I'm hanging in there. I got slower in my 40-yard dash time this year, Derrick. I got slower, you know? But I'm just a little north of the double nickel, you know, of my age. I guess, you know, but you're the guy who's proving that age is just a number. You know what I'm saying?
Hope I can keep it going.
So where are you in terms of loving what you're doing still, Derrick?
I'm blessed, man. I'm living my dream. I'm blessed immensely. God's been good to me, and yeah, just going day by day.
No, I know that, but you have to, I imagine for you to maintain being Derrick Henry, there's a lot more work that we don't know about. And do you still don't mind it? You like it? You look forward to it? That sort of stuff?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Always. I mean, I love working hard, putting the work in to get the results, you know, that I want.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that doesn't happen if you don't put the work in. And I'm always going to do that as long as I'm playing this game. And after so
how many days of the week are leg days for you, Derrick?
Usually, like if I'm doing the off-season workout, probably Monday, Thursday, and Saturday.
Okay, so 3 days a week are leg days. How many days of the week are cheat days for you, Derrick?
Well, off season, I'm not as strict because during the season, I try to be like locked in and, you know, be as strict as possible. So the off season, I give myself some grace, but I still try to eat semi-healthy.
Okay. So
it's not as healthy as the season.
Okay. Sure. So what does an unhealthy cheat day look like for Derrick Henry?
I love breakfast, so I'm a breakfast person. Okay.
So what do we got?
I mean, it's not that unhealthy, but I love like steak, eggs, potatoes, like French toast, or even a waffle. I like grits too, but it's really like steak, eggs, and potatoes, and like either a pancake, a waffle, or like French toast.
Okay, so no Lucky Charms? Nothing like that? We're not talking about none of that. I was waiting for the sugar cereal. I was looking for that. That's not a cheat day for you? Okay.
No, not no cereal. I don't eat cereal.
Pizza? We got pizza in there? What do we got?
Pizza every once in a while. I'm not like a big pizza person. Okay. My daughter loves pizza, but
I like pizza. No fruit on the pizza, right? You're not like you're not having that.
I can't do that. No, I don't see how people eat pineapple on their pizza. You do that?
Hell no. No way. No way. I'm from New York City.
I kind of felt like you were like asking me to see if I was going to say yeah.
No, because I would never try to trick you or trap you, Derek, because I don't want to see this look that you give people. This is nightmare fuel, man.
That's
like,
frightening.
Do you know how frightening you look when you run, Derek?
No, I don't know. I've been doing that since a kid, and I've probably seen an end zone on this shot. When I see the end zone, my eyes get huge.
Is that right?
Yeah, usually if I'm in the open field and I'm going towards the end zone, like, oh yeah, I'm trying to get there.
I think we can confirm. Oh, this is the Lightning McQueen one, right? Like that. Like, I think this is the one where Lamar called you Lightning McQueen, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, there you go. I've got Derek Henry here on the Rich Eisen Show. Your quarterback today, Derek, I don't know if you're aware, Lamar said he thinks the Ravens are going to approach this season with vengeance. That's the word he used. Would you agree with that, Derek?
Yeah, I definitely agree. You know, I thought we left some stuff on the table last year that, you know, we feel like we should have accomplished. So, you know, you got to come into camp and get prepared for the season with vengeance and have that same mindset going in, like when the season starts.
Is that a word you thought of when you saw that your first game is at Buffalo this year?
No, I just think every game, not just Buffalo. And I was in the playoffs. It's going to be the first game of the season. We want to start off on the right foot. So, you know, anybody we got to play, we got to have vengeance towards them to get where we want to go. But I think business is a good word to use to describe how we want to approach this season.
Well, I mean, if you're talking about starting off on feet for an opener, make sure Isaiah Likely wears smaller shoes this time around.
Yeah, I remember that.
Okay. I mean, you've been
having a discussion about that after that game.
You know what I mean? Like, was that his right foot or his left foot? I don't know which foot it was, but bottom line is, he's got 3 months to just jam his foot into a smaller shoe for that first Sunday night.
Or wear some white ones.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, let's make it tougher is what I'm saying. Okay. Glad you laughed
at that.
Okay. And you must love the fact that you look out on the practice field and see DeAndre Hopkins
again. Yeah, that's my boy. Thank you. I was happy. You know, we got him, and he's been looking good. So, yeah, for sure.
No, because I remember, you know, seeing you in London in your last year, what turned out to be your last year in Tennessee, out there on the practice field, and you were standing right next to D-Hop, just the two of you guys, chopping it up. And obviously I just knew, you know, you guys were close, and obviously you've been through the Tennessee battles together. So what are you guys thinking about your roles on this team for Baltimore back together again?
So we just trying to come in and, you know, do our job to help us win. We know the type of player D-Hop is, and we happy to have him. Glad he's on the squad. He's been looking good. We know what we got to do is put the work in to get the results that we want. And, you know, D-Hop's a dog. He works hard. And, you know, like you said, we're in Tennessee together. So we both know how we're going to try to approach every day.
What would it mean to you to win it all, Derek? What would it mean?
Everything. It would mean everything because that's what I want. That's all I need, man. I got to get there. I got to get to the mountaintop. Pray to God I get there before it's all said and done.
Do you visualize it? Do you actually let yourself have a mind wander on that stuff?
Every day.
Really? Seriously?
Think about it every day. Yeah, I mean, why not? I mean, this is what we do it for, so why not? I think about it all the time.
I don't know. Because, I mean, so what do you envision? Like, do you envision holding the trophy or do you envision a parade? Like, what do you specifically envision?
First, I envision making plays, getting there. Holding the trophy. Just to hold on to things that you see on the game and after the game, you know, whoever wins and, you know, just the journey of it. I mean, it ain't an easy road, but, you know, I definitely want to get there and be able to experience, say I did it one day.
Yeah. How much longer do you think you're going to do this?
I don't know. I don't try to put like a timetable or when I want to be done. I think whenever I feel like it's time to hang them up, I hang them up. Until then, you're going to see me.
And do you feel you have a certain, I mean, responsibility is a strong word. Let me choose a different one then. A reason, a chip on your shoulder that you're doing it after the age of 30 in a sport where teams just discard running backs because of their age. Do you feel like you're proving something for a larger class of athletes?
Like, to be honest with you, I mean, last year I kind of felt that, you know, a lot. And, you know, I just wanted to prove that, you know, I can still dominate this league and be a great player. And, you know, coming here and helping them and doing my job effectively. But I feel like now the chip, you know, it's not just that. I think it's like for us as a team, because I feel like we have everything we need to, you know, win a Super Bowl, win a championship. And I feel like the whole team should have that chip on their shoulder for us to go out there and prove that. So it's not really, I don't really try to think of it as much as me having a chip on my shoulder, but I just like to think like, what are my other teammates thinking, how they approaching it, how they feel. And, you know, we should all feel the same way, having that chip of going to get what we want and working hard every day to make each other better for that to happen.
And lastly, now that you've played a full season with Lamar, what did you learn about him being a teammate and seeing him up close that you might not have known from afar?
But as far as me, I love it. I was like, man, this is incredible, man. He's different. To me, he's the best player in the game. I feel like it's been that way for a while. When he steps on the field and he's healthy, the game is never over. A play is never over. And, you know, he's the two-time MVP for a reason, you know, and I think it's just only going to get better from here. But I definitely, while I'm here, want to be able to help him accomplish that big goal and win the Super Bowl.
And then
once he does that, he's going to win more.
Were there any times that he took the ball out of your stomach and your initial thought was like, I could have had that, and then you watch him go 50 more yards or something like that? Did that happen last year at any point in time?
No, not at all. It's like, I mean, he's led his team in rushing for multiple seasons. So if he's pulling it, he sees something and, you know, he's going to make something happen. So we all know what he can do with his legs. So if he pulls it, I'm like, get busy.
All right. Well, all I know is if you keep on running the way that you're running, not only is it possible you'll be in the next Sandler movie, thanks to my buddy Dan.
No,
but maybe.
How about you join me? We all get in there together.
I don't want to upset Dan. That's Dan's territory. You know, you know what I mean. I've known Dan too long. That's his territory. I mean, Adam Driver's been on this show. Maybe get you in a Star Wars movie. I mean, what other Adams do we know that we could help with? I don't know. But you just keep doing you, and maybe you run down Emmett one day. What do you think, Derek? Think about that. Ever?
I mean, the Lord blessed me to have the opportunity, then that'd be a hell of an accomplishment. But right now, I want the Super Bowl.
Sounds great to me, Derek Henry. Great to see
Adam
you.
Adam Scott, we could put him in Severance.
Adam Scott,
you know what I mean?
Yes,
if you're into that, Derek, I don't know.
In the meantime, good to see you, Derek Henry. Great to see you, man. Hey, thanks for the time.
Hey, Rich, is always fun visiting with y'all. Y'all have me on the show. I enjoy it every time.
I do as well. Thanks for the 2 seconds, and go say hi to everybody there in Baltimore for me.
I will, man. Y'all take care.
That's the one, the only, Derek Henry, the diminisher, as we referred to him back in the day.
Savor every last drop of summer with Starbucks. From bold refreshers to rich cold brews, the sunniest season only gets better with a handcrafted iced beverage in your hand. Available for a limited time. Your summer favorites are ready at Starbucks.
With a Venmo debit card, you can Venmo more than just your friends. You can use your balance in so many ways. You can Venmo everything. Need gas? You can Venmo this. How about snacks? You can Venmo that. Your favorite band's merch? You can Venmo this. Or their next show? You can Venmo that. Visit Venmo.me/debit to learn more.
You can Venmo this, or you can Venmo that. You can Venmo this, or you can Venmo that.
The Venmo MasterCard is issued by the Bancorp Bank N.A. pursuant to license by MasterCard International Incorporated. Card may be used everywhere MasterCard is accepted. Venmo purchase restrictions apply.
Back on the Rich Eisen Show. Corey in Iowa, let's get you back here on the program. Corey, thanks for signing the paperwork. Congratulations, I guess. You're no longer
a
Cowboy
fan. Going?
You're not a Cowboy fan for the season, right?
That's right.
Okay. Very good. Congratulations. I know you said you wanted to play the win-loss game for the Minnesota Vikings, correct?
My new team, yeah. You betcha. I got one for the old team, too. But
No, Corey. No, Corey.
No, you can't sign the paperwork saying that you're not a fan of the team for the upcoming season and then do the win-loss game for them. That I'm going to have to step in. Did you sign your document absolving your fandom of the Cowboys for the upcoming football season in purple because of the Vikings? Did you choose that sort of color specifically for it, Corey?
You are spot on, sir. You recognize all the minutia.
The United States Soccer Federation presents the U.S. Soccer Podcast.
Inside the opening 45 seconds. What a goal!
With that cannon of a left foot.
All even at one.
Never miss a game.
What a start for the United States.
Shot for distance. What a goal!
Never miss a moment.
Exquisite from the San Diegan.
Can he finish? Yes, he can!
Yeah! The U.S. Soccer Podcast. Follow and listen on your favorite platform.